Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in. What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 232 on, honestly, one of the biggest sports days of the year. You have three NBA playoff games. Well, two and a half, because Magic Cavs. But Lakers-Nuggets, season on the brink. Sixers-Knicks, season on the brink. This is that pivotal game three where home team won games one and two. If the team down 0-2, who's now at home, wins game three, we have a series, and game four becomes massive. Or if the team down 0-2 loses at home, series over. So we either get great series or walkovers. That is all happening under the backdrop, really, of the NFL draft. So we will do all of that. Also, we stated a goal on this show. We have a goal to get to 150,000 subscribers to the YouTube channel before the end of the NFL draft. We are 900 shy. So if we could pick up 1,000 subscribers between now and our next show, I'll say we met that goal. So if you're watching, if you're listening to the podcast, subscribe to the What's Right Show on YouTube. If you're already listening or watching on YouTube, I appreciate you being a viewer. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe and hit the bell so you get notified when we go live. Speaking of getting notified when we go live, I was so busy talking to DeMonte about Clippers Mavs that I forgot to retweet the link to the show. I just did that. Let's get right into what missed the cut for today's show. Detroit gives Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell massive amounts of money. Good for both of them. Caitlin Clark signs with Nike, and DeMonte, classic category one take, instantly right about the big three thing. Later. Yeah.
I did see it was almost exactly what I said,
which is, yes, it's millions of dollars in stuff and not right. necessarily millions of dollars in cash in hand. And Reggie Bush has his Heisman returned, which is one of the most bizarre stories I can remember from 18 years ago, which was when they said, no, bro, we're taking your Heisman back. It's the Heisman Trust, not the feds. Why did he give it back? Why didn't he just say, no, you can right. take my name off the record books, but you can't come in my house and take the trophy. I'm not giving you the trophy.
They went to his house?
The trophy. Well, he gave it back to him.
Oh, okay.
He gave it to him. That's my point.
You're saying if you say no, you're not coming to my house.
What are they going to do? You're going to send Barry Sanders over there to take it from him? No, you're not. And I never understood at the time, because Reggie, to his credit, had a long NFL career and has a very successful broadcasting career. But you never know where your career or money's going to go. What's Reggie Bush's Heisman at auction worth? $200,000? So you want me to give this thing back to you when it's kind of like a really good store of value, break glass in case of emergency? If everything goes wrong for me, at least I have this thing to sell, like I thought I had in my Kobe Bryant rookie card that I kept under my bed in college because I knew I would one day go broke gambling, and I had like five super valuable basketball cards in a case under my bed. And then one day I did go broke gambling, and I was like, oh, this is so sad. I have to go sell these cards because I owed a guy $1,000. And I went to the place to sell the cards, and they were all together worth like $140, and I was just crushed.
Probably a little different from the Reggie Bush situation, but
it is a little different. But my point is, you try to hold on to something, thinking I don't want to ever have to sell this, but I might one day. And then for me, that's a story for another day.
Hey, I mean, you got $140 for five cards. It's five.
Yeah, but buddy, that led to a sequence of just awful decisions. Because again, I'm not going to get into it. We have too busy of a show. But if you owe a scary person $1,000 and you have no money, and then you think you're going to be able to pay them off with this, and then you end up being only having less, you know, about $150.
13%?
Yeah, well, again, 21-year-old me owing someone a lot of money, having 4 days to turn $140 into $1,000. So not a lot of ways to do that. There's a couple tried and true ways to do that. One of which I'm not built for. And I found that out in very quick order. That's a story for another day. Now, DeMonte, before we get to the draft, let's get to the game last night. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my Celtics lost last night at home to the Jimmy Butler-less Heat. Mm-hmm. The Lakers and the 76ers are back at home trying to drop to 0-3. But it's draft day, so we're going to run through some NBA stuff really quickly. We can talk more about the Nuggets sweep on Tuesday.
Okay, the Nuggets aren't... All right, so let's start with your Celtics. Denial from Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics players after the game, saying, basically, we defended the three well. They just hit shots. 23 wide-open threes. 23. Yeah. I understand that Miami was crazy hot from three. I get that. They hit the most threes they've ever hit in a playoff game. But when half of the shots are classified as wide open, no defender within 5 feet, that's a problem.
They were Martin. They were daring him to shoot.
Martin. And that's what they did in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Right. And Caleb Martin had the series of his life. Then he went back to being Caleb Martin. And now he's playing the Celtics and he's good again. I'm going to read you a tweet from Kevin O'Connor, who writes and pods for The Ringer. He's great and is the opposite of a flamethrower when it comes to takes. He is measured. He is, you know, he is not out here trying to like get reaction from people. Kevin O'Connor. Last night at 9:49 p.m., the Celtics would get swept by Denver, maybe take one game due to a hot shooting night, but they have no chance if it's the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Zero. Oh, boy. This is where, DeMonte, your Celtics are in a weird spot. You win the conference by a dozen games. You get a round one matchup that would get your attention because of the Heat success against you, but Jimmy Butler's out, so it's easy to kind of sleepwalk through it. Next round, you're going to get Cleveland, who is not going to be able to score with you. And then all of a sudden, like it's a six-month season that's going to start in the beginning of month five. Or beginning of month six, I should say, actually, in the conference finals. And so do I think the Celtics are going to lose to the Heat? Obviously not. But that's a terrible loss. That is, by a point spread standpoint, the biggest upset in the playoffs since the 2019 Clippers, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, young SGA Clippers, beat the 2019 Warriors. And KD was healthy at the time. They were the back-to-back defending champs. That led to the Kevin Durant doing the I'm Kevin Durant press conference. That's a brutal loss. Brutal, brutal loss. And I'm curious your confidence level right now in your Celtics, DeMonte.
To win the finals? Or say to get out of the series?
Make the finals, win the championship.
I've got no fears of them losing this series.
Agreed.
I think a lot of things went in the Heat's favor. Like, I don't think that that will be repeated. Bam Adebayo was just hitting shots. That Martin was hitting shots. I saw a lot of ball watching. I think I need to see Jason Tatum be a little bit more aggressive. But they get to the finals and they see the Nuggets, and I don't think that my confidence for us having an answer for Nikola Jokic if we end up seeing him in the finals, not great. But if any other team ends up getting there, I feel like we can make work of that.
That's fair. And you guys are built very similarly to Denver in this regard. Extraordinary starting five, like one guy off the bench you trust. But that's actually good for the postseason in theory because your starters are going to play more minutes. It's just a bad loss. And here's the thing. It hasn't happened yet. I guess you could argue, who is it? Who was it night before last? Oh, Grayson Allen hurt his ankle. But we're yet to have the, oh man, key player from championship contender. Not best player on the team, but you know, your third or fourth best guy goes down for a couple weeks with a playoff injury. That inevitably is going to happen to one or two teams, right? It just does. It's just sports. That's why now having this series go a minimum of five, and honestly, it could go six, because Miami could get one at home. You just extend the amount of time that something funky could happen. You know what I mean? There's more games now that you got to play, more instances of guys crashing and falling around. And it's one thing if it's like, oh, we're in a brutal first round series.
And
we know it's going to go
Tatum's
long.
Jason also getting he's getting real chirpy, I'm noticing. I think there's like a little bit of a beef brewing in the series.
These teams hate each other.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you got to keep in mind, here's Jason Tatum's. Jason Tatum's been in the league since 2018, right? So, his first, as a rookie, they play LeBron fine. You know, they're up 3-2. LeBron has two brilliant games, and they win. But even though they were the favorites, nobody's giving Tatum a hard time about that. At 2019, they lose to Giannis, whatever. But once Tatum's been a star, they play in 2020, Eastern Conference Finals, in the bubble. They lose to Miami. 2022, they play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Seven-game series goes down to the final shot. They lose to Miami, or they beat Miami. 2023, seven-game series. They're up 3-0. It goes to seven games. They lose to Miami. Miami's been, you know what I mean, a massive part of Jason Tatum's NBA postseason career, playing him in the conference finals as often as they have. Now to the two games tonight. I don't want to spend on draft night a ton of time previewing series. This is a little heart, a lot of head. I think both home teams win. I think the Lakers get it to 2-1. I think the Sixers get it to 2-1. And then we'll see what game four looks like in both those series. I also really hope the Sixers win, because I'm going to game four in Philly. And game four with it 2-1, and this, you know what I mean, could be a great game. But game four at 3-0 is going to feel like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? Okay.
Hopefully
now,
we get that win.
To the NFL draft, Demonte, go ahead.
Yeah, so before we get into a couple draft games, let's get the audience up to speed on your mock draft 4.0, aka the culmination of mock drafts 1 through 4,000. My question is, has Brett Veach blocked your number yet?
Actually have left Brett Veach alone throughout this process, and I also have been focusing not just on the Chiefs like it was last year, but on the whole league. I did mock draft 4.0 Monday on television. There is one major change to it that I have made. So this is kind of mock draft version 4.1. And I am going to try as quickly and as efficiently as possible, go through all 32 teams here and talk about why I have them drafting, who I have them drafting, and the analysis behind it. So the first overall pick, we all know, everyone knows, is going to be Caleb Williams. That is not a question. That is not a debate. That has been locked in stone for quite some time. Listen, you guys know how high I am on Caleb. Here is where my change comes from Monday to now. I did have the Washington Commanders taking Drake May. I now have seen the Vegas odds drop enough, have heard enough people I trust, and I'm not going to reveal any sources publicly. I'm going to text DeMonze right now so he can react, but don't say who it is, DeMonze. I just want to see your live reaction. The person, someone, a high-level NFL figure who might have some level of insight on the Commanders or their coaching staff or their front office or someone, text me after mock draft 4.0 and said, no chance they're taking Drake over Jaden. No chance. And then we had a whole little draft conversation back and forth. It was quite nice.
Okay, that's nice.
That was enough for me to go back and say, you know what? The Commanders did hire Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury's college quarterbacks were Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams. Want a more of a dual threat option. Jaden, I think, is probably the pick. Here is my concern on Jaden Daniels. He is old and he is skinny. Okay? And we'll go through this full top 10, but you can see it on your screen if you're watching on YouTube right now. But I want to stay on Jaden Daniels for a moment. Old and skinny is not a good recipe. DeMonze, how much do you weigh? Do you know? Do you mind saying? Do you
have an 190. About
190. And you are a shade under 6'3"? Right at 6'3"? Over 6'3"?
I think I'm about 6'4". That's what the doctors tell me, but probably 6'3 and a half.
Okay. All right. So my bad. A shade over 6'3". Okay. So you're 6'3", 190. Do you think you have the body to be an NFL quarterback? Because I do not. I think you would get hurt a lot. Jaden Daniels is 6'4", a true 6'4", weighed in at 210 when he was trying to weigh as much as possible, which means he really weighs 198. He's too skinny, man. He's just too skinny. And so you add that to the fact that he is the same high school class as Sam Howell.
6'4", 210 isn't that bad, is it? Like, I feel like that's...
I'll send and maybe we can get it. This is probably impossible to get on the show. How much does Caleb Williams weigh? So Caleb is... But
he's
Caleb's
6'1", right?
6'1", six and feet. A half.
6'1",
he's 6'1", and a half, and he weighs more than 210. That's kind of my point. So there, like, I'm gonna send a picture. I used it on TV. I'll send it to the group chat. I don't know if we can get it on the show or not. But I want you to see it, DeMonze. And we can show it whenever. Jaden yesterday talking. Look at your phone. Look at this guy. He's gonna get annihilated, man. I mean, he's just too skinny. And everyone's like, oh, he's gonna put on weight. If he could, he would. If he could put on weight, he would put on weight. And then there's the age factor.
Well, that he ever had to put, like, it was absolutely mandatory that he put on weight? I think now that he's going to the NFL is what they're saying.
Okay, I mean, I get that. But LSU's got a weight room. I mean, when we show that picture, like, he just has a slight frame. And then there's the age factor. And people misconstrue when I'm talking about age. It's not that, because he's 2 years older than Drake May, his career's going to be shorter. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
He's got to hit his prime. It's a
correct.
Right?
It's yes. So like, I don't think Sam Howell's very good, right? But Sam Howell is the same draft or high school class as Jaden Daniels. How would Sam Howell have looked if the last 2 years he was playing college football? Probably freaking awesome. And these, and so that's Jaden Daniels. And so we can show you the picture so you guys know what I'm talking about. People can say there's a bad angle. I don't know, man. That guy looked like a snapped collarbone waiting to happen. And so it just concerns me. And so and the age part of it concerns me. Just does. And so, but I think he's going to go number two. In that circumstance, I believe the Patriots are pretty clearly drafting a quarterback. I think that they are going to end up taking Drake May number three, and then the draft gets really interesting. Are the Cardinals going to trade out, or are they going to stay right where they are? The Cardinals need great players. They have an expensive quarterback. Marvin Harrison is sitting right there. I think they will take him. There was a ton of smoke right when the Vikings traded for their additional first-round pick that they are doing this to move up for J.J. McCarthy. Since then, that seems to have cooled off. I actually think that's going to happen. I see a ton of mock drafts this morning that have the Chargers staying there and drafting J.C. Latham. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Vikings are going to move up, package their two firsts this year and their first next year to get J.J. McCarthy. And then the Giants, they probably have to run it under this scenario, run it back one more year with Daniel Jones. They haven't had a great receiver since the beginning of Odell. Some people have Malik Nabers number one as their receivers. I think they take Nabers. Joe Alt to the Titans is the most obvious pick in this draft. Every single mock I have done and every single mock I have seen has that happening. Probably means it won't, but I believe it will. The top offensive lineman off the board goes to the Titans. The Falcons are in a unique spot because they have to draft defense. They have a decent offensive line. They have spent top 10 picks on a tight end, wide receiver, and running back the last 3 years, and they just signed Kirk Cousins. They could sit at pick 8 and take the number one defensive player on their board because the first 7 picks of this draft are going to be offense. Now, maybe they trade down, but I think they're going to take Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama, and that then puts the Bears in a unique spot. Do they want to go left tackle to protect Caleb? Do they want to go interior defensive line and go Byron Murphy? Or do they want to get a stud receiver? I think they go stud receiver, take Rome Odunze, and Caleb has DJ Moore on the big contract, Keenan Allen is the aging vet, and Rome Odunze is the stud on a rookie contract. And then I just think the Jets aren't going to be able to help themselves. They should go left tackle here. They should buttress the offensive line. Instead, they're going to hope and pray that the old offensive lineman that they acquired this offseason stay healthy. And the one major hole from a skill position perspective on their offense is tight end. They go Brock Bowers to make Aaron Rodgers happy. Now we can show the next 10 picks. I think we have them. If not, I can. Yeah, we do have them. All right. So this is where my mock is going to be different than most. There is a ton, like I said, of J.C. Latham to the Chargers at 5 smoke. Under this scenario, J.C. Latham, the left tackle or the tackle from Alabama, is available at 11. I still think Talese Fuaga, the right tackle out of Oregon State, is better. I think it's more likely that Jim Harbaugh drafts him. They have their left tackle. They have their right tackle. And then the Broncos reach massively on Bo Nix because Sean Payton's got to have a quarterback. He is not going into the season with Jared Stidham and with the guy, Zach Wilson. It's just not happening. So now, could the Broncos be a trade back and then draft Bo Nix candidate? Sure. But if they think he's worth a first-round pick, then just secure him at 12. A lot of people think the Raiders will take Penix at 13. I don't think Penix, given his age and his injury history, is a first-round pick. The Raiders, you know, Antonio Pierce has come out and said the Mahomes rules and all this stuff, get another edge along opposite Max Crosby. Latu from UCLA makes the most sense. The Saints have to go offensive line here. This is a spot where maybe I'll get the player wrong, but I am certain they're going offensive line. Trevor Penning, who they traded up for in the first round a couple years ago, has not worked out. Ryan Ramczyk, it might have to retire due to injury. So I think they're going Fashanu to assist, to give him a plug-and-play tackle on the offensive line. The tackle out of Penn State, also one of the younger players in the draft. I think the Colts would love if the draft fell this way. If they're sitting at 15 and only two defensive players have gone off the board and they're both edge rushers and they have their pick of any corner in the draft, they will go corner. I am confident in that. I think they go Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Now to the second half, or I guess the end of the first half of the first round. Troy Fontenot, he's listed as tackle. He probably plays interior in the NFL. He's down the street from the Seahawks playing at the University of Washington. That, to me, is an obvious pick. Now, to the second half of the draft. The Jags got to take a receiver because they thought they were going to have Ridley, and they don't. I do not like Adonai Mitchell as the fourth receiver taken in this draft. But the Jags front office, led by Trent Baalke, loves going galaxy brain on the draft and going the position everyone thinks they're going to do, but a different player. See Trayvon Walker over, who's the edge that went to Michigan that plays for the Lions now? Aiden Hutchinson. So I think they could take Adonai Mitchell there. The Bengals need a replacement for DJ Reader. So their ability to get Byron Murphy, the first D tackle off on everyone's board, him and Johnny Newton, I think that makes a lot of sense. The Rams, some people have the Rams taking a quarterback here to back up Stafford. The Rams haven't had a first-round pick in 8 years. I don't think they're going to spend one on a guy they don't expect to play. They still need help in the secondary. Terrion Arnold is a lot of people's cornerback one in this draft. I think that makes sense. And the Steelers are going offensive line. Now, maybe if he's there, they go J.C. Latham. But the reports out of Pittsburgh from our friend Andrew Filippone connected them to Amarius Mims. So I think Amarius Mims makes a lot of sense for them. Now we'll get to the final 12 picks of the draft quickly here. Johnny Newton, the D-tackle from the Dolphins, or from Illinois. The Dolphins lost Christian Wilkins. That makes a lot of sense there. The Eagles need secondary help. Cooper DeJean can play safety, can play corner, can play nickel corner, and is going to be our first white corner in the NFL in 20-some years. The Eagles take him at 22. The Chargers, this is a tough one because you feel like Harbaugh is going to want to build up the offensive and defensive lines first and foremost. However, you lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. If Brian Thomas is there, you feel like they have to take him. The Cowboys would be thrilled if Graham Barton, who played tackle at Duke but can play all five spots on the offensive line, is there, given the guys they lost on the offensive line. And then I have Latham falling further than just about anyone. The Packers would sprint this pick in, taking J.C. Latham. They have a seventh-round pick right now slated to play left tackle. That doesn't make sense, even though Latham's probably going to play on the right side. The Bucs need secondary help all over the place, aside from one great safety. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson makes a lot of sense for them there. Jared Verse, the Cardinals need impact guys. Some people have Jared Verse going in the top 15. I think he's available there. And then we get to some really fun final five, six picks of the first round. The Bills have to draft a wide receiver. Now, there is some smoke. They could move way up in the draft to get a receiver. I would love if the Bills mortgaged more future capital to move up. If they don't, Troy Franklin, the 6'3 receiver out of Oregon, makes a lot of sense. Some people have speculated they would take Xavier Worthy, the guy who set the record at the combine. I think Worthy is going either 28 or 29 if he's there. I don't think Worthy is getting to 30. Now, Worthy, I have concerns with as well. You know why? He's 155 pounds. And I understand Devontae Smith was super slight, but Devontae Smith had an 1,800-yard season in college. We saw him deal with it. People, when I talked about Xavier Worthy, people were like, oh, that's what they said about Tank Dell. Did you see his rookie season? Yeah, I saw Tank Dell have an amazing rookie season until he got his leg snapped in half on a regular block because he's tiny. Like, this is, I feel badly about this sometimes, but I don't think I'm wrong in my belief football's for big people. And if you're not a big person, I have concerns. And so Xavier Worthy would scare me, but the Lions have been looking for a speedster since they traded up for Jamal Williams, and that hasn't quite worked out. So I like that pick there. The Ravens getting Chop Robinson feels like a Ravens pick. I've mocked this in the last couple drafts. The Niners getting the best true center in the draft, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, when they had troubles on the inside of their offensive line, make a lot of sense. And I think the Chiefs are going tackle. And Jordan Morgan's the best tackle left. Now, could the Chiefs trade up to get not a wide receiver? Here's why. I don't think Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for more than 4 games max. I think it's probably 1 or 2 games. But you also don't make your draft picks based on length of a... If they were like, oh, he might be banned from the league, then but there's that. They signed Hollywood. They have Rashee. They don't yet have a left tackle. And so I think they're going tackle. Now, Jordan Morgan, you're going to laugh at me on this, DeMonte. The concern with Jordan Morgan is he does have short arms. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but for left tackle, you want really long arms because you want to be able to keep guys off you. But there are going to be, under this scenario, let me just explain another reason why I don't think the Chiefs have to go wide receiver.
The NFL encourages body dysmorphia, by the way. But go ahead.
Well, yeah. It just is what it is. Now, I'd love Ladd McConkey there. The slot receiver from Georgia. I think he would be great with Mahomes. But the reason I think that the Chiefs have to go tackle is under this version of the mock, the following receivers are not first-round picks. Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Ricky Purcell, from Florida, Xavier Leggett, Jalen Polk. That is 6 wide receivers that are potentially second-round talents, or late first, or they're not going to be first-round picks, but 6 wide receivers that could be any of those 6 theoretically could be available when the Chiefs are drafting at 64. And what you can do if you're the Chiefs is, if you take a tackle at 32 and then you see a run on wide receivers happening in the second round, you can do what they did last year to get Rashee Rice. Move up a few spots in the second round, secure your receiver. So that's what I think they're doing. Under this version of the draft, the best players who end up not being first round picks, just to name them so people have them in their head. Kool-Aid, the corner from Alabama, who I could theoretically see the Patriots drafting. I'm sorry, the Patriots. Certainly the Patriots at their first, second-round pick, but the Chiefs drafting. Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. Peyton Wilson, the linebacker. Where did he go? Did he go to NC State? Yeah, the linebacker from NC State. And then Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, along with a few corners like Mike Sanristil, and who's the other corner? I don't even remember. Those are the guys who would be kind of at the top of the second round. So that's how I see the draft going.
Could you see anybody doing a Ravens Lamar Jackson trade up for Michael Penix with the Chiefs?
Yes. So that's the other thing that the Chiefs have going for him, so to speak. If there is a quarterback available, if Penix is still there at 32, there is a real chance a team pays a super high premium to move up to get him, because teams love that fifth-year option for quarterbacks. So once you become, that's only available for first-round picks. So the difference between drafting a guy 32 and 33 is contract structure. And so, yeah, but I could see the Chiefs trading back. I think the Chiefs are more likely to trade back than trade up. And so that's where I fall on this. And
I got one more question.
History
go ahead. In this mock draft, you've got five quarterbacks going in the first round. How many of them do you think will be hits in the NFL?
History tells us it'll go like this. One star, one good player, one below average starter, and two busts. That's what history tells us. History tells us there'll be one great player, one fine player, one guy that, and then two guys that are backups or, you know what I mean, don't have long careers at all. So this idea that you're going to get three or four franchise quarterbacks, it's not that it's never happened. Eli, Rivers, Big Ben were one draft. Obviously, I think it was Elway, Kelly, Marino were one draft. It has happened. It's very, very rare. All right, we play a game of GM consultant next. What's right?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back in. What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 232. Demonze, time for a new game in honor of the draft. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's draft day, and you spent thousands of hours doing mock drafts all for this exact moment. The NFL GM community has come to understand the genius of you, Pops. And all 32 GMs have your number and on deck to call you tonight in case they can't make a final decision. You, Nick Wright, are the secret weapon. In the extremely likely scenario, an NFL GM will call you to weigh in on their pick tonight. We're going to practice. I'm going to play an NFL GM calling you with a dilemma, and I'll talk you through the scenario, and you have to convince me what to do before the clock runs out.
Okay, let's do it. Who's first? Oh, you're in Belichick's draft room. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Hey, Nick. Yeah. It's me, Elliot Wolf, the kind of GM of the Patriots. Yes, this is still our draft room. Our favorite quarterback, Drake May, is still on the board, and a lot of teams want him. We can kickstart our rebuild with a trade, but who knows when we'll draft this high again. Do we stay at three or trade back for multiple first-rounders? 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, so this is what you do, Elliot. I understand that you're getting calls from the Vikings. You're getting calls from a bunch of teams. You call up Joe Shane and the New York Giants right now. And you tell Joe Shane and the New York Giants that they can go from 6 to 3. There is precedent for this, right? Once upon a time, the Jets moved up from 6 to 3. They gave up the 6th pick and 3 second rounders. You call Joe Shane and tell him you want the 6th pick. You want the 6th pick, you want his third rounder this year and next year's number one. Okay? You call him, he's going to say yes to that. So he does that. Now, you, Elliot Wolf, you have the sixth pick. Well, no, I get another 60 seconds now because now I have the sixth pick. So now that we can, now I'm still talking to Elliot. Elliot, it's fine. I'm going to keep going. So here's the deal, Elliot. It's gone perfectly. The Giants have moved up. They have taken Drake May. The Cardinals have drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. And the Chargers, as many people have suspected they might, have taken an offensive lineman. Now you are sitting there at number six. You have the choice. You can take J.J. McCarthy at six, or you call up Minnesota and you tell Minnesota, hey, your guy is here. I will give him to you for the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and next year's number two. Minnesota's going to say yes to that. So now what you have ended up with, you have turned the third pick into the 11th. My lights just went out, I think, because I'm short on time. You have turned the third pick into the 11th, the 23rd, a third rounder, and the Giants' number one pick next year. All of that is very important. Looks like DeMonte's lights went out, too. We're just having a whole lighting. Oh, there you go. DeMonte's back. Okay, so that's what we've done. By the way, I'm going to holler at Jake to see if he can fix these lights. But you, DeMonte, we can go on to the next thing.
We forfeited our pick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Giants GM calling.
Oh, wow, new phone.
No.
I like it.
I do not know my own name, so don't ask. I've got Arizona on the line, and they're interested in moving down to number six so we can move up for J.J. McCarthy. Or we can stay at number six and be guaranteed one of the top three receivers. Do I trade up for JJ or do I stay and pick a wide receiver? 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, if you're the Giants, the smart move would be stay at six and then hold a little mini auction for the sixth pick. But if nobody is willing to make the trade that I just laid out, if the Vikings don't want to move up, now, ideally, what you do is you call Denver and you say, we'll move from 6 to 12.
The San Francisco Giants, though.
Okay, stop it. If you move from 6 to 12, you will then, if Denver wants to include next year's number one, you'll do that because Denver's going to be terrible. That's a move you make. If not, you stand pat, you draft Malik Nabers, and you just say, we finally have a stud receiver. If you can't get Denver to pay through the nose or Minnesota to pay through the nose, send in Malik Nabers. Go ahead.
All right. That works out. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. Well, it's the next one. Good job. Oh,
I appreciate it.
Backgrounds. Oh, they're doing this is really worthwhile watching on YouTube. This is great. Hey, we're now in the Bears draft room.
GM Ryan Poles from Chicago here. We have a conundrum. Caleb Williams is already making demands. He said today he wants us to draft Taku Olufoshinu, his high school teammate, but Rome Odunze is still sitting here. Should we draft Caleb's buddy or the best wide receiver?
Here's the thing. Caleb is going to be happy with either of these picks. What you don't want to do is take defense. You want to support the offense. Now, I understand the want to draft Olu, and I get it, and it makes sense. But Caleb also has spent a lot of time with Odunze. He will not be unhappy with Odunze. And with the explosion in wide receiver salaries, getting Rome Odunze for 5 years on a discount deal, you drafted a tackle in the top 10 last year, so you don't need to do it again. So I like Rome Odunze at nine.
Wait, hold on. Go ahead. I've got a call coming in from the 49ers. Yes. And they're calling about Brandon Ayuk.
For the ninth pick?
What
hang
did
up
we
on
do?
Him. Hang up,
hang
on,
up
him.
On him.
Tell him go okay. to hell. Stop John Lynch. Ninth
it's packaged
pick.
With picks.
Send in the Rome Odunze pick. Send in the Rome Odunze pick. Caleb will be happy. That's an easy one. Go ahead. Next. That was easy. This is a great game.
That was
I love
easy.
It. Go ahead. Oh, they really brought a bunch of phones out. My goodness gracious. All different types of phones. That's an old school phone.
Hey, it's Joe Douglas with the Jets calling from our war room. It's a darkness retreat somewhere in South America. I'm trying to get in touch with my boss, Aaron Rodgers, but I can't see him currently. He wants Brock Bowers, but here's the thing. J.J. McCarthy is still available. He might be close to me right now. Do we pick Brock Bowers or do we draft Rodgers' successor? 60 seconds.
Okay, listen. This is where you really put the screws to him, okay, guys? And this is where you make Rodgers happy and you win the draft here, Joe Douglas. If J.J. McCarthy is there at 10, you call up Sean Payton because Minnesota is sitting there at 11. You call up Sean Payton and you say, we want for
the
12th pick. Wait,
I think the service
pick,
is getting spotty in the darkness retreat.
No. This is important. Broncos draft capital.
We only have
so
much time.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't ready for this. Broncos draft picks. They've got, oh, my goodness gracious. I'm running out of time. Broncos 2024 draft picks. You want the 12th pick from Denver and the 76th pick and a fifth. You want those three picks so they can move up from 12 to 10. You move back. The Vikings at 11 won't draft the tight end because they have Hockenson. You get Bowers at 12 anyway. Pick up two free picks.
All failed.
Trade with Denver. End up with your guy anyway. Oh, man, that was close. I needed to have the Broncos because I knew the Broncos didn't have a second-round pick because they traded it for Sean Payton. That was good. All right, we got one more. Go ahead.
It's your buddy Brett Veach with Kansas City. I'm in our war room located in Andy Reid's closet. I'm in a pickle. Thank God you texted me all those mock drafts so I knew exactly who to call. Chicago is offering Caleb Williams and their first-round pick in perpetuity for Mahomes. We have 60 seconds to decide. What should we do?
Hang up on him. Hey. It's the dumbest idea ever. Hang up on him and tell Ryan Poles you'll never deal with him again for insulting you like that. Now, that first-round pick in perpetuity thing is an idea I had years ago. It turns out it's against the NFL rules, but I said when I was on the radio in Kansas City a decade ago, or I guess longer than that, 12 years ago, I said that the Chiefs, when they had the number one pick of the draft, that they should offer this for Aaron Rodgers. They should say, here's the trade. We will trade you the number one pick and the first round pick, our first round pick, every year Rodgers is on our roster for Aaron. Turns out that's not allowed. But they're not trading Patrick Mahomes. What's up, DeMonte? You have two phone calls going on now?
It's some other guys calling about some other trades. Sorry.
Oh, okay. No, you're fine. Veach, I think, is because they signed Hollywood Brown, the Chiefs are in a really good position to truly be able to take best player. That they might take a corner. They absolutely could take Kool-Aid. They could take a wide receiver, and they could take a tackle. Also, whatever the producers are trying to get you to do, DeMonte, don't let them peer pressure you. I can tell that you don't want to do it. Don't worry about it. People are asking, should you watch the draft or the NBA? Listen, tonight's one of those nights that you need to be able to have a multi-TV setup. If you don't have a multi-TV setup, here's what I would tell you. Go TV for basketball, computer screen, or phone screen for draft. Because draft is an informational thing, not necessarily you need to see every nuance of it. So if you can only have one big screen, obviously put the big screen on the NBA. But the draft is honestly what I'm most excited for tonight, even though the way this times out, the Chiefs are going to be drafting like mid-fourth quarter of the Lakers game, which is going to really put me in a blender. All right, let's do listener questions next. What's right?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel.
The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome back in. What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 232. What's up, DeMonte? Sorry.
Oh, no. I was going to give you a second. You seem to be doing some...
No, I'm good. I'm just looking. I'm trying... Here's a weird thing. I think in New York, for some reason, you can't bet on certain types of things. So, like, in FanDuel in New York or DraftKings, I can't see any of the draft odds because you're not allowed to bet those types of bets in New York. It's weird. I don't totally get it. And so I can't follow some of these draft odds. But let's get to the listener questions.
So you're trying to bet on the draft right now?
No. I read the first question and you'll understand it.
Go ahead. Neil Gary, Penix and Knicks going round 1-2. You get quarterbacks in round one plus 5.5 wagers in.
Okay. Yeah, so I was trying to see what the odds were that at least six quarterbacks would go in round one, I can't see the odds. I don't think we're going to have six quarterbacks in round one. I hope we do. What's best for the Chiefs is as many quarterbacks and D linemen go in round one as possible. Like, what the Chiefs want is for them to have their pick of wide receiver, tackle, corner.
Right.
And so that's what you want, positions you're not going to draft to be the highly drafted positions. All right, next.
Kai Jaru asks a question. Nick, during the offseason when sports news have slowed down, would you have considered doing poker maybe twice a month, doing a poker show, sorry? I'm learning how to play, and I think it will be cool.
I don't think a poker show would actually be interesting is the problem. Like, there are, you know, there's a lot of poker, like, learning tools, and there's classes and stuff like that. There is a poker-based actual show that I've thought about trying to create for a long time, where it is basically the model of the shop, where it's, you know, famous people sitting around talking, but instead of it being premised around a barbershop, it's around a poker table with whole card cam. So it's kind of both, but that's a heavy lift to get that off the ground, but maybe one day.
They're saying six quarterbacks in round one is going at plus 180, by the way. Six plus quarterbacks.
That's wild. All right, next.
Eric Allen asks, what do you think the biggest mistake of the draft tonight will be? Sounds like you're
trading up to get
J.J.
McCarthy. No, I think trading up to get J.J. McCarthy.
So it'll be by the Patriots?
Well, they wouldn't have to trade up. They could sit there. But I just don't think J.J. McCarthy is a great player. Next.
Nacreel, if the Lakers win the next two games, what percentage do you give them to win the series?
I mean, 100%. I mean, they're gonna. I haven't changed my pick, guys. I had Lakers in six. I'm halfway there. They've lost two. They always had to lose two to lose in six. Give me a break. All right, next.
All right. Matt asked, how was the service on the banana phone? It wasn't great.
What I imagined. keep going. Let's run through these.
LG said, can't believe we'll never see DeMonte back in the shades.
You will at some point. I need to send him a little bit.
A little different flow of the show, so I didn't want to throw on the shades. I've been thinking about it as well, but I'll have them on next time.
All right, that's fair. Go ahead.
Gun to MJC, my guy Nick Wright dressed like an Albanian drug dealer.
That's what going for. That's the aesthetic I'm going for, and I appreciate that. all right, go to Austin Tapp's question.
Austin Tapp asks, why do you use passer rating to evaluate quarterbacks instead of quarterback rating? Does the passer rating
hold on. He's QBR, saying, why do I use passer rating instead of QBR? So QBR is ESPN's proprietary stat. Go ahead.
Does the passer rating provide a more accurate depiction of their performance, or is the QBR skewed by stats that aren't relevant?
Neither is a perfect stat. Passer rating is just very straightforward, even though the maximum score is 158.3, which is weird. It's not normalized to a 100 scale, but it's 25% yards per attempt, 25% touchdowns, 25% interceptions, 25% completion percentage. That gets you passer rating. QBR is supposed to incorporate situation, rushing, a lot of other things. It theoretically is a better stat, but it also, to me, has a lot of noise in it, and the numbers are so close together that it's, there is, I just don't like it as much. So I don't think there is a perfect catch. I don't think EPA, I don't think CPOE, I don't think there is a perfect singular catch-all passer evaluation stat. Maybe I should give QBR a little more love. It's just, it's ESPN's, it's ESPN's proprietary thing, so we don't use it on TV that often. Right. And so I've always done passer rating. All right, I'm going to go. This was a great show. Demonte, you crushed. Producers, you did a great job. Long night ahead of basketball in the draft. And again, please like, rate, subscribe, review if you'd like, but we need a few hundred more subscribers to get to 150,000. That's it. What's right? Hey, thanks for watching. If you're still here, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button, then hit the bell so you can be notified when we have new episodes. After you've done that, one more favor, go to your favorite audio platform of choice and subscribe there as well. Don't forget, we're live every Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern-ish, 10:35, 10:40, it sometimes changes, but that's why you hit the bell. You hit the bell so you're notified, you subscribe, so we can get to 200,000 followers. We're right around 150,000. We'd love to get to 200,000, get Demonte another plaque. So like, subscribe, rate, send a rating too. Do all that cool stuff. Thanks, guys.